Today's episode of the Sidious Mag Podcast on the Sidious Mag Podcast Network is presented by Whoop. We are getting to the heart of fall marathon training season. Whoop is a fitness wearable that provides 24/7 personalized insights around your sleep, recovery, and daily activity. Whoop has helped runners of all backgrounds train smarter and recover faster so they can get to the starting line healthy and hit some new PRs. As I get ready to dig deep into my marathon training, my Whoop is what's telling me just how exhausted I am from covering the Olympics and Torch Talk, but now I'm rested, recovered, and recharged to get back into the thick of it. Whoop doesn't just get your splits or mileage, but instead focuses on the 23 other hours of the day when your body's getting ready for that next run. Every day gives you a personalized recovery score based on things like your resting heart rate, sleep, and respiratory rate, so you actually know if you're going to be able to crush those tempo runs and if the legs are feeling good. I've seen Nikki Hiltz, Joe Kovacs, Drew Hunter, and a slew of other professional athletes wearing it. Now, it's your turn. Join now for free. Whoop is offering 15% off with the code Sidious at checkout. Go to Whoop, that's WHOOP.com, and enter Sidious at checkout to save 15%. Sleep better, recover faster, and run faster. Get to the starting line healthy with Whoop. Thanks to all the support on Patreon. We've had 14 new backers in the month of August. So thanks to your generosity, the show will continue going strong. And I've decided to bring on a podcast producer named Mike Zerzolo, who will be helping with the show going forward. Your dollars help us put on series like Torch Talk and help us think of fun future concepts and trips, especially with fall marathon season approaching. So if you enjoy what we're doing, support us over at patreon.com/sidiousmag. Another way you can show your love for us is by picking up a t-shirt or sweater over at sidiousmag.com and hitting the merch tab. We actually just came out with t-shirts and sweaters that say I heart track and field because let everyone know I love track and field. We've also surpassed 1,000 reviews on Apple Podcasts. This helps us populate on people's feeds as a recommended show on Apple Podcasts and allows possible sponsors to see what listeners think of the show. It takes just a minute to leave a review and rating, so I greatly appreciate it if you can do so. Thank you, thank you, thank you again. My guest for today's episode is Raven Saunders. We recorded this while she was in attendance at the Prefontaine Classic, and she popped by the Magic Boost tent. We've traded a couple messages over Twitter over the past couple weeks about how we really wanted to make this interview happen because she's one of the funniest personalities in the sport, and obviously the throws deserve a little bit more love. The last time people may have seen her on TV, she was twerking shortly after winning a silver medal in the shot put at the Tokyo Olympics. You could have also seen her on the news since she raised her arms in an X to protest racial and societal injustice in America. Just a few days later, her mother unexpectedly passed away, so Raven decided to take a short break from social media. In this episode, we touch on it all, as well as where she sees the conversation around athlete mental health going from here, since she was very outspoken about her own past struggles. I really enjoyed this short chat quite a bit, and I'm sure we'll have Raven back on again soon because I'm a big throws guy. So without further ado, here is Raven Saunders. All right, let's do this. Raven Saunders.
Yeah.
Olympic silver medalist.
That's me.
How's that feel? That title, you got it for life.
I mean, it's like, it's all right. You know, when you aspire to do great things and you get something out of it, you know, there's still more on the horizon, you know. I'm just not getting started, but silver, it's good. It's good for now.
So you win a silver medal at the Olympics. This time there's no spectators, but take me through the moment. We saw you twerking on the NBC broadcast. First off, they cut away from it way too quick.
They did.
So what happened next, I guess? You walk off the track, you go to the village. How was the celebration there?
The celebration was nice. I got lots of sleep, got lots of water because I was dehydrated, and I got my regular chicken, grilled chicken with my french fries with a little barbecue sauce on top. You know, had my Old Bay seasoning from back at home, sprinkle that on there.
You packed that yourself.
Hey, I had to. I had to do it. It was for everybody back at home.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so just really had like a nice little meal.
So you obviously made a ton of headlines in the with the ceremony. You decide to raise your arms up in an X in a little form of protest, I guess, kind of like behind the scenes. Like, how did that come together? What was the conversations that took place for that to happen?
So all of the athletes, we kind of determined that our sign would be, you know, an X inside of a circle, pretty much representing the intersection of where all people who are oppressed meet, be it people with disabilities, people, you know, of different races, you know. It was just a lot. So everyone, you know, you saw some athletes that actually drew it on themselves mm-hmm. or on their uniforms at some point during the competition. And for me, I actually did draw it on my arm during competition. And it was like really at that moment, I feel like while I had the world's attention, it was time to make a statement. You know, it wasn't necessarily a protest. It was just really making a statement. I feel like the Olympics, especially with their goal being unity, you know, of people all around the world, I feel like the Olympics in that moment is the perfect time to try and bring as many people together as we can. Because the village, especially when you're meeting everyone and you're dancing with everyone and you're talking, hey, what sport are you? What country are you from?
Yeah.
What's it like there? You know, it really bridges a lot of gaps, I feel like, around the world for us.
Was there any moment where, like, they pulled you aside to a room and gave you, like, a talking to about, like, hey, these are the IOC rules, but no one was going to take that medal from you?
I mean, if you watch my TikTok or if you were on my Twitter, you see they weren't going to get that medal. initially, like, especially USATF and USOPC, I'm very thankful for, because yeah. they were behind me as soon as everything happened. Like, they told me, you know, don't worry about it, like, based on what we've decided and, you know, our rules, like, you haven't broken any.
Yeah.
So they told me, like, you know, whatever happens, they're going to be behind me, and that was the thing that really gave me a lot of peace and solace.
Now, obviously, when you do something like that, you piss off a ton of people on Twitter, and all their icons tend to look the same.
Yep,
they happen to have the same politics.
Yeah.
How bad did that get?
I really didn't pay attention to, like, I did and I didn't. Like, initially I did, especially because it was like, I find stuff like that funny.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know who I am. I know what I did. I know what it stood for. So, like, you can't sit here and try and tell me that it meant something else. So, I mean, I made fun of, like, some of the people at first. And then, like, after a while, I just let a lot of my followers handle them.
Yeah.
I'm like, they'll get them for me. I don't even have to worry. Let me, like, keep my peace.
Well, it's crazy because, like, Gwen Berry constantly, any tweet she puts out gets, like, 10 of those responses. Did she, like, give you any sort of, like, advice, or did she message you at all about, like, hey, I mean, just don't pay attention to
them
at all?
Yeah, we talk about that stuff all the time, because I would tell her, man, like, just delete and block people. She's like, it's no point. Like, they're just going to keep creating pages and coming back. She's like, I don't even stress it. I don't worry about it. So, like, we've already had those conversations, so... It was one of those things that before I did it, I already knew that that would be some kind of response, because as soon as anybody would turn it and tell, like, try and claim that I did a protest, I knew that, you know, for whatever reason, the country that's the most prideful on freedom of speech and doing everything, you know, being able to speak up and speak up for what you believe in, you know, there's a lot of people here that get so hyped up over people protesting, and I feel like it's the most American thing that you can do, even though what I did was a statement.
Yeah. So then a couple days later, tragedy strikes with your family, your mom passes away. Yeah. How hard was that to kind of, like, get the word while you were gone? I mean, there was an interview clip, I guess, from local news from just a couple of days ago. I mean, was this just a total shock?
It really was. I mean, so it's so funny to me how life works, because I would always say, like, you know, especially, like, after overcoming a lot of my mental health challenges and things like that, and still dealing with them. You know, I'm not going to say, like, I'm over them completely, but I'm still dealing with them. I would always say, like, I'm ready for whatever life wants to throw at me next. I knew that when you accomplish things, sometimes you're going to, you know, life's going to hit. I was like, I'm prepared. Even during the competition, I was saying, like, I don't want nothing in life easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like, you know, life and God, you know, set me up at such a high to kind of prepare me for that moment. Because had I not worked on my mental, had I not been already seeing a therapist or planning on seeing a therapist, had I not been meditating, had I not been doing all of those things, calling my people and reaching out to my people, and sitting on the phone with my mom, like, you know, every other day or every day that I'm out there, I wouldn't have had that peace to be able to, you know, to keep moving on. Like, initially when I found out, like, I broke down, I honestly, like, I went Hulk mode on a wall in the village, like, my room wall.
Yeah.
It's, like, torn out steel beam, like, it got a couple dents in it, like, I went crazy, I'm not gonna lie. But as I thought about how happy she was in those moments, she was actually with a Thing Moves high school coach, and Tara Davis's mom, those days that she was out in Orlando having the time of her life. So when I think about her smile and her love and, you know, all the things and lessons that she gave me and taught me, and how happy she would be for me in this moment, I really find a lot of peace in it. And I feel like you really find the true beauty of life in those high and low moments, because just as high as I was just as low as I went so fast.
With Joe Kovacs, obviously his mom was the one who got him into the throws.
Right.
How active of a role did your mom have in your sort of career development?
My mom was like the one that made sure that everything was taken care of on the outside. Like, you know, she always wanted to make sure that I got to school. I remember her one thing was, if I got to carry a camel on my back, you going to college. I was like, all right, lady, that's a little extreme. We don't even have camels in South Carolina, but all right. So she would be the one that always making sure, taking me to all my practices, you know, picking me up from all my practices, you know, meets out of town. I remember when we went to meet in New York, 17-hour car ride. She tagged along in the car with us. Like,
what's that ride like? A lot of music playing, a lot of conversations, debates. What's going on?
My old man had no heat. It was cold as ever. A long ride. His car couldn't go over like 50 miles per hour. So we were driving slow as ever to get to New York. And we got there like 2 a.m. before I competed at like 11 that morning.
Mm-hmm. In that last interview clip that she did, they asked her sort of like, what would you say to her? What would you say to Raven in this moment? And I think she kind of said that, like, it's not good enough it's not appropriate for TV or whatever it was.
Yeah.
What would she have said? Has she said?
My mom, her main thing every time she would see me would be, or right before competition, she'd say, kick ass. every single time, that would be her last words before I would go out for any state championship, any national championship, any USA's. Olympics, like, those would be her last words. And it was actually funny. My friend of mine in one of the clips that I did, he actually got a recording of my little sister stealing it from her while they were on the phone together. It was so nice.
Yeah. So kind of you went home and had, you know, took some time off of social media. What did that do for you? Because, I mean, we were just talking, you know, to a couple friends here about how they're big fans of your TikTok, your tweets, and all that kind of stuff. And so for you to unplug, that's, you know, pulling the cord with the people who support you and all that kind of stuff. And you just needed this moment for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, because I was surrounded by a lot of family, you know, and I really wanted to kind of focus on making sure my mom's home going was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really more so Twitter that I wanted to take a step back from, just because Twitter gets very vicious. So I would still, like, post updates and things like that, kind of letting certain people know how I was doing. Because I feel like also there'll be moments where, like, on my close friends list, I let my friends know, hey, I'm in this space. Like, can you guys just, you know, pray for me today, or certain things like that? Because I find, you know, we all try to be strong independently, but I found different ways to be strong within my support system.
Yeah.
And that works.
You've been a tremendous major advocate for, you know, mental health, and that conversation that was taking place during the Olympics with such a big emphasis because of what Simone Biles was going through. So when tragedy like this strikes you, there's obviously, like, a lot of concern for you from, like, the general public and fans, because they know how much you've been through in the past.
Right.
And at the same time, it's like you can't let everyone into all of your feelings the entire time. So
exactly.
How did you strike that balance of, okay, letting the people know, letting the close friends know that you are right.
Right.
But then at the same time, like, you need your time.
Yeah, so it was one of those things, like, I knew by previously have opening myself up, especially with my battle and going through something like this, I knew there'd be a lot of people who weren't on the inside who were concerned for me. So that was my way, like, when I would let people know I'm in a good space, but, you know, I just need time. That was my way of kind of letting people know that I'm okay, but, you know, I have things that I need to handle, and mentally you have to take time for yourself, same Simone. And actually, when I was on the way to the airport, it was actually when I found out that Simone, the day before I lost my mom, she lost her aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that, you know, when you're going through grief, especially, everybody grieves differently.
Yeah.
Everybody grieves completely differently. I have a couple of friends who've lost their moms this year or last year. And sometimes it took them out, but I feel like the fact that I have opened up about mental health has given me that much more of a push, because I know there's people that are looking to me and what I do. So all the things that I talk about that I use to help myself through these things, I've been going 10 times harder behind. because I know I have to do it because I'm preaching to other people, hey, do this, do this, do this. You know, you have to practice what you preach.
Did you connect with Simone at all?
We actually saw each other in the airport before we actually were leaving out of Tokyo.
Did you talk or anything?
Yeah, so we had a chance to have like a quick conversation. It was really nice to kind of share that. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like, especially when you see certain people, you really never think about certain things, and especially us two now being on the forefront of, you know, mental health, especially within athletes and in sports.
Yeah.
It was kind of nice to kind of share that moment.
Where do you think that conversation goes from here? Because, you know, it had such an emphasis at the Olympics.
Right.
Naomi Osaka is continuing to deal with it.
Exactly.
I mean, broke down during one of the press conferences, I think, this past week. And so it's not just, you know, this is going to be the hot topic for the week.
It's
and
not.
And you know, even the term, I guess, mental health is sort of like, some people are saying, it's becoming a little bit of a buzzword and that kind of stuff because of how much it's being thrown around in conversation. So like, where do we go from here, and how do we continue carrying that momentum?
I feel like we go in a change legally and systematically, because I feel like there's so many things that we can do to help protect, and so many laws that can be put into place to help out people find it. And I feel like that, by us as athletes, you know, being able to talk about it, we're going to make sure that other people are talking about it, because people are like, well, did you hear about so-and-so?
Yeah.
And then I feel like then at that point, especially legally, I know California is actually in the midst of creating a bill for mental health and things like that. So I feel like as a country, and as a world, I feel like we can do so much better. And I feel like we're going to really start stepping in the right direction.
Getting back to the throws a little bit. So silver, I mean, like, that gets you pretty hungry for gold, right?
Oh, yeah. I feel like, you know, second place, first place loser, man. Setting in. I love the medal. Don't get me wrong. And they're not taking it. But, man, yeah, gold. Gold is coming. It's coming.
Would it mean anything more to do it in front of a home crowd next year?
Man, I would love to, man. Eugene, Oregon is by far track town USA, man. Literally the best facility I've seen in the world.
Yeah. So what's next? I guess, like, is your season done for? Or, like, where do we go from here? I'm not as familiar with, how long throws are going to go for.
So my season personally is actually done.
Okay.
Right now, what I'm actually in the business of is I'm going to be doing a lot of speaking engagements, a couple of, like, photo shoots, and those types of things. Really just pushing the message on mental health. Really, you know, track season is over, but now, you know, it's time for me to keep pushing what I have been all season long, especially now that I have a little bit of time to do it.
What's the been the biggest celebrity follow or interaction since your medal? And I guess, like, who's still on the list that you hope, like, if you flash your Olympic silver, it can get you in the same room with?
I really want to be – all right, so I can't necessarily specify who my biggest follower has been, because already I'm still going through my followers. So I don't know if I followed like every celebrity, if we're being honest. But if I got a chance to be in a room with like almost anybody, I would take Issa Rae. She's just naturally funny. You can tell like she's super genuine. And I was like watching her since she had her like YouTube series, The Awkward Black Girl. So
yeah. You got that White House visit coming up,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
What are you trying to say in the room to Joe?
We did it, Joe. We did it with my medal. We did it, Joe.
Oh, that's the TikTok you need.
Yeah.
That's.
Hey, that would be the one. If they let me get that one out, yeah.
One's popping off.
Hey, if I don't get over like 5 million views in that one, TikTok's algorithm is messed up.
Raven, thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, thank you for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
If you're digging all the content and want to show your support for Sidious, then hit us with a couple of bucks and pledge your support over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/SidiousMag. Your help gets us to events, covers hosting fees, lets me pay my new podcast producer, and helps us think big picture for projects in the future. You can also throw us a one-time donation by hitting us on Venmo at SidiousMag. Thanks to Whoop for being the sponsor of the SidiousMag podcast. Go to whoop.com. That's whoop.com and enter Sidious at checkout to save 15%. Sleep better, recover faster, and run faster. Get to that starting line healthy with Whoop. That's all I've got. I've been your host, Chris Chavez, wishing you some happy and healthy running. Legs are feeling good.